Within our own firms and for clients, technology has become an often confusing and challenging maze of choices. How do you know what to look for, and how do you make the right long-term choice? We'll find out on this episode of Shift Shapers.
Change either paralyzes or energizes. The choice is yours. You're listening to the Shift Shapers podcast. You're about to learn firsthand from businesses and entrepreneurs who have successfully shaped the shifts in their industries. Get ready to become the change that you want to see. Here's your host and Chief Transformation Strategist, David Saltzman.
This episode of the Shift Shapers podcast is brought to you by Captivated Health, a captive insurance arrangement designed specifically for educational institutions. If you have clients in that vertical, you know the healthcare deck has been stacked against them. Today, Captivated Health offers the stability, control, and savings they've been waiting for. For more information, go to www.captivatedhealth.com or click on the company logo on the Shift Shapers website. In today's environment, clients are looking to advisors for all kinds of different answers. And one of the things that they tend to be asking of late is about HR tech. And the problem is that for most advisors, it's just not their area of expertise. There are too many competing products out there with different feature sets to know how to recommend something to a client, what fits a particular client's needs the best, et cetera, et cetera. And Jeff Severson is president of Trinity Advisors. And what his company does is it helps advisors and clients with those decisions so that they can make the best decision possible and not fall into some of the common pitfalls that exist when novices or folks who aren't technicians or experts start to make these decisions about competing products. And so we've invited Jeff to talk with us about some of those things and how that process works and what some of the red flags are. With that, welcome, Jeff.
Thank you, David. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, we appreciate you sharing your expertise with us. First of all, I think your background is interesting, and I think it will inform the rest of our discussion. So kind of a nutshell version of how you got to be doing what you're doing today?
Sure. I got into this business a little different than most, I think, do. I actually come from the HCM, human capital management sales side. And so for a little over 12 years, I was actually working for some of the prominent human capital management technology firms, selling their technologies to employers that I'm now coming alongside and helping from a consulting perspective. What I found over that 12-year period was there was definitely a need in the market to have somebody come alongside these employers during their buying and selection process to make sense of the buying process, to help navigate through the various steps, help coordinate, and set realistic expectations. And so what I've been doing now for the past few years is working with employers on the other side of the table, helping them form questions. What questions should we be asking as we're looking at investing, you know, tens of thousands, sometimes millions into some of these technology products? What partners should we consider partnering with long term? And so that's what I do, is I come alongside them. I help educate them on their buying process so that when they do make a selection, it sticks, there is no buyer's remorse, and they've selected a good long-term partner for their company and their business.
Now, you mentioned that you work on the employer side of the table, but I know that you work closely with a lot of advisors. So how does that partnership work?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the way that I get introduced primarily to employers is actually through the benefit advisor groups. And so I work with benefit advisors, employee benefit advisors across the country. And what they do is, because of what you mentioned in your opening segment, realize that there is a need in the market to present HR technology, benefit technology to their employers. However, they're benefit experts, right? They're not technology experts, nor should they be. And so the way that I work with them is they bring me on as their HR technology expert, if you will. And anytime that their clients or prospective clients are looking to make any type of human capital management change, and that takes on a variety of forms, they would then bring me in to help their employer navigate that process. So I become an extension of the employee benefit firm as a value-added solution service to their clients and prospective clients.
So what types of applications and platforms do you most generally find advisors need help with?
Obviously, benefit enrollment automation is a huge one. Recruiting and onboarding, so the talent acquisition portion is gaining a lot of momentum. There is a talent war out there. And so employers are very proactive in how do we go about getting the top talent in the market. And then following that is the employee engagement. How do we keep them? How do we retain them? And so all of these portions are actually leveraging technology at the business and corporate level, not only to attract, but also to retain and engage. And then obviously the automation portion of it as well.
Clearly, one company's offering can't be everything to everybody. So can you give us an example or maybe a couple of quick examples of how employer A and employer B looking for software that solves the same problem might actually need two completely different vendors or solutions?
Yeah, that is a really good question. And if I were to answer that question when I first got in the market, 15 some odd years ago, I'd have a different answer than I do today. 15 years ago, what was happening was there was multiple systems, but none of them were communicating with one another. And so you saw this big trend of these all-in-one or all-inclusive systems coming to the table, and everyone was wanting them, right? What you found with that is that exactly what you mentioned, one vendor can't be everything to everybody. And so there was always strengths and weaknesses of these all-in-one solutions, and that's still the case today. The difference today is the fact that the integration between technologies has become so much more sophisticated that no longer is there an issue of having multiple systems. So what we call this in the industry is best of breed versus all-in-ones. And so you're able now as an employer to go out and get the absolute best talent acquisition package, recruiting and onboarding that you want. And in most cases, it's going to play nicely with your core human capital management or payroll and HR solution. In addition, you can even break the chain in the middle and go out and get a best of breed benefit administration solution. And that will also integrate with your HR and payroll solution as well. Obviously, that's driving deductions and has an impact on the employee's pay. And so with the development and the sophistication of technical integration, it's really opened the door to employers to be able to go out and really get the technologies that they want, get the solutions that are best going to suit their individual needs. And then through the integrations, the technologies all communicate with one another.
Well, so let's use BenAdmin as an example, because I think a lot of our listeners, or most of our listeners, are familiar with BenAdmin systems. System A, System B. What are some of the differences, the key differences that you might find if you were looking at two competing systems, and what kind of employers do they fit? I mean, what's the algorithm or the mental discussion about this piece of software does A, this piece of software does B, and therefore A is more suitable for this client and B is more suitable for the other client?
The client's going to drive what the need is. And so one of my challenges is coming alongside the employer and really uncovering what their needs are, what their requirements are, and then going out to the market to make sure that the vendors that I'm bringing to the table for them to evaluate align with those needs. So some of the various needs are, for instance, single sign-on. Some vendors are very strong on the single sign-on. And what this is let's just say I'm in my employee self-service looking at my pay stub. I'm looking at my time off, right? I could click a link and launch a standalone benefit administration solution where I can now go out and look at my benefits without having to sign on or sign into any other application. I can also do this for my mobile device. That's another capability with a single sign-on. So for some employers, that's a very big deal because they want to drive efficiency with their technology. The other piece is decision-making tools. So now that I'm in my benefit selection process, some employers are offering so many different types of plans to help lower cost. It could get overwhelming and somewhat confusing from the employee's perspective. And so having decision-making tools, this is, you know, the size of my family. This is the age of my kids. This is approximately how many times I go to the doctor. Maybe they want chiropractic care, right? And so by answering a few questions, the technology is actually going to lead them to specific types of plans that are better suited for their family's lifestyle. And then on the back end, reporting is always a key. Are we going to, as managers and administrators, have to log into a separate system to be able to run our reports? And are those reports going to be limited to the data that is housed within the BIN admin solution? Or is that data going to then compile with my core HCM solution where I can run reports out of that system and bring in other data like deduction detail and things like that that are native to that solution? So those are the three major aspects that employers are asking about.
And now, a word from our sponsor. Captivated Health is a single-source solution for your clients and prospects who are in the education vertical. The founders of Captivated Health have nearly 20 years' experience working with educational institutions, and over that time, they've developed a keen understanding of the unique problems these clients experience. Frustrated by a lack of control, the unpredictability of ever-increasing healthcare costs, and the pressures and regulations of the Affordable Care Act, these groups have been adrift in the fully insured commercial marketplace until now. Captivated Health has built a program that solves those problems, and it does so with virtually no disruption to faculty and staff while saving clients millions of dollars. We wanted you to be among the first to know that Captivated Health is building a national distribution partner network so you can bring this cutting-edge solution to the educational clients you advise. To learn more about the Captivated Health solution, go to their website at www.captivatedhealth.com or click on their logo on the Shift Shapers website. And now, back to our interview. When an employer is looking at a system, and I know every employer is different, and everybody in the audience certainly understands that. When you've seen one employer, you've seen one employer. But how do they generally, in your experience, balance core functionality, which I guess is what they look for first, versus user experience? I mean, you were talking about single sign-on, and that's very much a user experience kind of a piece. Do they weight those equally, or, you know, what do you find?
I don't necessarily think that they weigh those equally. It's really driven off of their culture. And so you start to see a lot of cultural influence being brought into these decisions. So for instance, like I mentioned before, I work with employers across the entire country in Canada and in many cases global organizations. For some, mobile accessibility and mobile access is a huge component as far as how they're going to make their decision to select this type of technology. In others, it really doesn't matter. Some are very user interface driven. We want it to look a certain way because maybe we're a tech company or we live in a high tech area, part of the country. And so we want it to look and feel a different way. We want it to be branded a certain way with our logos, with our color schemes. And in other companies, that may not be a high priority item. And so it's really driven off of the company culture. In many cases, to be honest, it's still driven off of budget, right? We may want all these things, but it may just not be feasible at this time. Other areas are, you know, how can we expand these in the future? And so we may have an immediate need today, but we know that our company is growing. We know our company is evolving and changing. We don't want to have to go through this process again in 3, 5, 7 years. So we want to get, you know, we want to partner with a solution that can grow and evolve with us. And so what's coming down their roadmap and where can we expand in the future?
So scaling is clearly a huge red flag, if you will, something to be aware of when you're choosing a system. What are some of the other red flags that we need to keep in mind as we're looking at system A versus system B versus system C, et cetera?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, one, I've already mentioned the integration piece is huge. Whether somebody realizes today that they're going to need the integration, they will need it in the future. And so that's always a big discussion. I typically encourage, depending on the size of the employer, that not only HR and potentially finance is involved in the decision-making process, but I often encourage them to bring in IT. Simply because with these cloud-based systems, there's limited IT involvement that's needed. But on the integration side, there's almost always IT involvement that's needed. And so, you know, it's getting the right people at the table to make the decision. And IT definitely needs to be part of that. Another portion is the reporting, the data, the analytics, the notifications. Today, employers have an expectation that we don't want our managers having to babysit these solutions. We don't want our administrators having to babysit these solutions. So we want the system to then notify us as to when something needs to be done. Maybe something needs to be approved. Maybe somebody's about, you know, there's a dependent that's going to be expiring and being dropped off the plan. Well, we don't want to have to go in and run those reports to find that out. We want the system to be proactive and communicate that to us, and then we can react to that information.
Do you often find that with the employers you consult with that they start with a focus on today, and a large part of your role is to help them see, you alluded to it earlier, kind of what might happen in the future and what kind of scaling or expansion or integration capabilities a particular piece of software might have in mind?
Absolutely. That is, I would say, one of my biggest challenges personally is to get companies to think big picture. So many companies, you know, they just have so much on their plate that there's a lot of reactive behavior out there in the market. Part of my job is to come in and say, okay, what is the immediate need? But now we need to really spend some time on the front end to look at the strategy going forward. Are you looking at expanding into different areas of the country? Are you looking to expand in different countries, right? Well, you need a solution that can present the information with multiple languages. Do you need support that could potentially be in a completely different part of the country and time zones, right? So those types of things are things that I challenge companies to start to think about early on in the evaluation process. And if you look at, you know, kind of how I spend my time when it comes to the evaluation, it's about 40% on the front end is strategy, and then 60% on execution.
That's interesting. So do you find, as you go through these conversations with employers, that they're looking to you and your firm to make decisions for them? Or is your model more recommending showing the differences between system A and system B and saying, you know, you guys choose?
Yeah, that is a great question. I address that usually in my very first conversation when I start to engage the employer in their evaluation process. The answer to that question is no, I do not want to be the one that's making the decision for them, simply because I may spend a few hours, you know, with them on the front end, trying to put together a strategy, getting to learn their business, but they know their business much more intimately than I ever will. And so I make it clear to everybody that I engage with, this is going to be your decision. This is going to be your process. This is going to be your partner moving forward. And so my job is to simply arm you with the information that's needed in order to make a more informed buying decision. But the decision is still yours. And so I never want to be put into a position where I'm making the decision for them. Now, however, just given my experience in that I go through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these processes, oftentimes the employer will say, you know, Jeff, what do you think we should do? And, you know, even there, I'm a little hesitant to say, I think you should select one vendor over the other. Typically, how I respond to that question is, you know, I think there's some things we need to think about, and those things are A, B, and C. And, you know, maybe that leads them towards one solution over another, maybe not.
Does your engagement continue through the implementation phase, or is it once the decision's made, do you kind of step out?
So by design, I typically don't get involved in the implementation process. There are some exceptions. What happens in the industry, and this is, you know, I'm not picking on anyone in vendor here because they all have this problem. The sales lingo, salespeople are trained to adapt to the terminology that their prospects are using. So they may change the words that they're using from process to process so that they can better communicate accurately and clearly with the prospective client. That terminology does not translate over into the implementation process. And so sometimes there's a change in, you know, there's just a disconnect in terminology. And so what will happen is sometimes I get involved there to say, okay, what they're really saying is this, and you're both speaking the same language. You're just using different words to communicate it. So that's typically where I get involved in the implementation process, is just clearing up some miscommunication.
And, you know, the single greatest problem with communication, as George Bernard Shaw said, is the illusion that it has taken place. And sometimes that's a very important or as important a component as others. A great place to leave our conversation for today, Jeff Severson, president of Trinity Advisors. Jeff, thanks for sharing your information and your expertise with the Shift Shapers audience. We appreciate it.
Thank you, David. It was a pleasure.
The Shift Shapers podcast is a production of Strategic Vision Publishing and David Saltzman. This podcast may not be reproduced in any form, in whole or in part, without the express written permission of the producers. All rights reserved.